Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
You'll be aware of Daybreak with Yvonne Ferguson, Saturdays, 7 till 10, on RT Lyric FM, the purple one. And I am delighted Anya Murray's in front of me this morning. Good morning, you.
Good morning.
And congratulations on your frog roots, polka dot newts and other treasures of Irish nature.
Thank you, Marty. Very snappy title.
It is a snappy title. Rolls off the tongue like a frog. One of the things I have to start with saying to you, you just told me something fascinating that had never occurred to me. That birds in Kerry have a different dialect to birds in other countries.
That's right. We were talking about it because when we do Nature File each week, we put a really nice sound effects around it. So if it's about a particular bird, we'll put in the sound of that bird singing. But it's important to get recordings of those birds in Ireland as opposed to recordings of those birds somewhere else in the world because they have a regional dialect.
And they will sound different?
You and I might not notice, but expert ornithologists would know that there's a slightly different nuance. Yeah, the same with pilot whales and marine mammals. They have regional accents and dialects.
That's astonishing to me. I don't know why it's never, as a fellow said, crossed my desk as information, but it never occurred to me that that would be different.
I mean, it makes sense because, like us, language is passed down culturally. Yes. There's a culture, it's passed down from generation to generation, and they learn things slightly differently.
Yeah, which makes total difference. This is the way it's put on the front of the book, as heard on RTE Lyric FM's Nature File. So explain what the book is. This is from Gill, our good friends at Gill Publishing.
That's right, Marty. Yeah. So this is Nature File has been running. It's in its ninth year now, every Saturday morning on Daybreak.
Yeah.
And I collected up about 110 of those and just kind of redrafted them a little bit for print editions. So it means that we've covered everything right through the year. They're seasonal pieces and they're everything from dormice to certain bluebells to Merlin to brown bears to all sorts.
But you write by the seasons. I love it because you do it by the month.
That's right.
And that's really clever because what it does then is mean that, you know, it's the month of October, let's see. And you take it out and away you go and you can spot things or whatever, which is a really clever way of doing it. I noticed that the foreword, Máncán McGann, and you were good friends.
I was friends with Máncán, and Máncán was so, so generous with his time to so many people. He took the energy and the time out to be supportive and to be encouraging to me and many others as well. Yeah. And he was really generous to give us a gorgeous quote. He had a look at the book before it was published and gave us a really beautiful quote.
Yeah, he seems to have been very special.
Miss him terribly.
Yeah, well, you were friends, and he seems to have been terribly special.
He had such a breadth of knowledge and insight and was just so
warm.
And
people have nothing but good to say about him too, which is always lovely.
There's been a really wonderful outpouring of love, sharing of love for him since he's passed. Yeah.
It is a particular world that you inhabit. And I suppose for those of us who inhabit it now and again, or when your children are very small and they're fascinated by nature and you suddenly get into it very much, but we don't all carry it with us like you do, like he did, God rest him. It is a very specific thing. You, therefore, I suspect, can't let a day go by without some involvement in this world. I bet it's not possible.
I do notice things, I guess, more than other people.
Yes, you must.
As you say, we all have that innate ability to notice these things. And when we're kids, we do it.
We do,
and then it's kind of, it becomes a bit uncool when you're a teenager. And then when you're a grown-up, so-called grown-up, you're supposed to be more preoccupied with other responsibilities in life.
That sort of carry on, presidential elections.
But when you kind of cultivate that curiosity, when you're drawn into, like even this morning, cycling down the canal, looking at all the different leaves and the colours in the leaves and thinking not just, oh, aren't they a lovely red, thinking about the processes by which the tree is reabsorbing all of those different pigments, the chlorophyll and the nutrients back into the tree, and that's what makes those leaves go yellow or red depending on the temperature outside, depending on the tree species. But you think when you know more, you look more deeply and you notice more and you see more.
Of course you do. And your interest is there automatically.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Because you have an innate interest in this, and therefore it just comes to you without...
I can't imagine going around the world without seeing and noticing and adoring all these things.
But you see, if I was on the canal this morning on my bike, what would I be doing? I'd be looking out for cars. You're catching the leaves, do you know? There's so much in this. I want to come to it. This is just to give those who is a little flavour of Daybreak when you're there. Because again, it's encapsulated in the book, but this is just to give people the radio flavour here in Lyric.
Wild salmon. Wild salmon are an iconic fish, famously familiar and widely admired. Now, as autumn rolls in, mature Atlantic salmon are making their way from deep ocean to coast, from coasts to brackish waters, readying to embark on the final leg of their epic migratory routes, returning to the rivers where their lives began. Having spent several years out at sea, eating their way through the rich upwellings of the North Atlantic, wild Atlantic salmon can grow to be as much as a metre long.
It's like being beside the river with you, which is no, but that's the trick. That's what makes it work. The fact that, and why you're doing it so long, thank God, is because the listener can visualise you there. I should tell the story.
I do try and kind important. Of I describe the surrounds. I never jump straight into that particular species that I'm looking at each week.
Because that's what you do.
It's about the interconnections with everything else.
Yeah. I have to ask you, October, there's a piece of this about squirrels, the story of an invader. I love squirrels. Now, I don't know why I love them. I think they're gorgeous. Now, somebody said it's like a gerbil, it's like a rat with an address. But I like squirrels. I think they're cute and lovely. If he ended up on my back, it wouldn't be so pleasant. But I think they're lovely to watch. And we have one or two in the back garden that come in and run around and whatever. Talk to us about squirrels, because they're an October thingy.
Well, in October you see them mostly because in October, of course, we've got the acorns and the hazelnuts ripening on
they're
the
busy.
Trees, and the squirrels are storing up their cache of nuts to get them through the winter.
Yeah.
And it's amazing when you see them; they've got this slinkiness of movement
they
and
do.
Their massive
they
bushy tails, and they are very cute.
They're very cute.
I do love them,
and to see them go up a tree, it's quite something. And they will scale the narrowest and thinnest of branches.
That's right.
Without falling.
They're very agile.
So there's
stories of how squirrels, I'm sure everybody has heard this one, but how a squirrel used to be able to go all the way from Kerry up to Donegal, from branch to branch of a tree without ever having to touch its little paws down against the ground, because Ireland was so covered in wild woodlands at that time. And then when we felled our woods over time, and also then that the grey squirrels came in, which are invasive. So that meant that the native red squirrel were on the brink of extinction. Like they were about 90% of the population had gone by the 18 and the 1900s. Yeah. And then they've started to come back. So there's more tree cover, and also the pine marten has made a recovery. And pine martens prey on both grey and red squirrels. But because the red squirrels have evolved together with the pine martens, they know to avoid them. Whereas the grey squirrels just aren't quite so smart and clued in, so they get preyed upon more than the red squirrels. So the red squirrels have been making a comeback.
Where? I haven't seen one. Have you seen one?
I have, yeah. I mean, they're all over the country now, but up until maybe 10 years ago, they were west of the Shannon.
But they were in the UK. No problem.
Yep.
And we had none at that, for a long time.
But the red squirrels didn't quite go extinct here.
Oh.
They nearly. But they still clung on. They clung on in a few places in the west and northwest.
I noticed in RTE Grounds, we only have grey ones. I've noticed this out here.
Yeah, around the east coast, it would be very much mostly the greys.
So it's the west coast that you get them?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a division. The Shannon would be the dividing line.
I hope there's no
but
pine martens listening to us.
There's red squirrels in County Dublin and in County Wicklow now as well. They are making a comeback.
I'm just astonished because I haven't seen any.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's lovely about your book, it's the Lyric FM element, which is obviously, for people like you and I, vital and vitally important. But what's interesting is you can open a page and say, life-supporting oysters. What does that mean? Or you can say, the time... For instance, here's one now. It's an April checklist. I thought this was clever. Where you talk about newts and catkins and all sorts of carrion. But it's a checklist. So if you have an interest at all in this, you talk about swallows arriving back in April. It's just an interesting way of looking at nature as opposed to just kind of handbook. So it's not a handbook. It's more of a... It's like a storybook in a way, if I can put it that way.
It is. There's 100 little stories, we can say. And then I've got a checklist for each month. So it's kind of easy at a glance, one page, you can see what kind of things are going on this month. And that means if you're about to go out for a walk or you're out and about, you know what to look out for that month.
I think that's a lovely way of doing it. Also, a lovely gift, he said, with the season that's practically on, a lovely gift for children to get them interested.
Yeah, now, I have to pick you up on that, Marty.
Why?
Because I'm so fed up with people always going, oh, nature, isn't that lovely? It's for children.
No, it's not for children. It's to get them interested.
That's right. And it is important that we nurture children's interest.
Yes.
But it's important that we have adults as well.
I know. That's why there's a picture of a frog on the front. That's not going to get any other 55-year-old people. You know what I mean? Whereas I look at this and I think, yeah. But I just get them young and keep them.
Absolutely,
why I'm going down
and
this
also
road.
To kind of nurture our grown-up interest in these things,
of course,
and kind
and
of rekindle that passion that we had for nature, that interest when we were kids.
Who did the illustration, by the way?
A wonderful young illustrator called Jane Carkill. She's based in the Burren in County Clare, and she does the most gorgeous drawings of wildlife.
She's a bit fab, isn't she?
She's very much a bit fab.
And when it comes to, you see, again, I know we're talking about illustrations on the radio, but that's how we do it. This would jump out at you because of the colour scheme and everything. It sounds
and the gorgeous frog peering out there onto us with its two eyes fixed on you.
That's right.
And each month has an illustration as well that Jane has done based on the different episodes that are presented in that month.
Which is a lovely idea and a lovely process. Before we go any further, we have a little piece about a frog. So I just have to share it. Little frog piece there, Alicia O'Brien on the recorder. Crikey, the recorders used to be between that and the panpipes. Anyway, it's a lovely piece. Speak to me. That's another thing. We have another piece, butterflies and all the rest of it. When you were a young girl, were you fascinated very young with nature? Was it always a big deal to you?
As far back as I can remember, I was in under the hedge looking at primroses, climbing trees, examining bark, playing down by the shores of the lake.
And was that with
stones.
Your mates or was it your folks or an auntie or like, how did that
maybe
happen?
Maybe on my own, also with my brothers who are a couple of years older, and we would have all been left to run kind of feral in the wilds explore.
Are your parents still with us if they're listening to this? Yes, Mummy and Daddy, thank you for letting us run feral.
Well, I'm very grateful that I had that kind of adventurous upbringing and I was able to explore and discover it's so important for kids and their development to allow them to be inquisitive and what's this and feel that and touch that and immersive.
It's that thing about being allowed to play with dirt when you're small because we're so conscious of horribleness and stuff, you know. And yet nature is out there to be enjoyed and to be grasped.
Yeah, I just never had that drummed out of me, you know.
That's funny, isn't it?
And I went on to study environmental science and ecology, and it's been just something that stayed with me all the way through, which I'm very grateful for.
Of course. And are your family as well, or is it just you? Are you the one?
I would say it's mostly me.
Yeah. No, your siblings, I mean, are they? No.
They aren't quite ecologists or ecological. More music and all sorts of different things, or crafts.
Are we in trouble in terms of nature when we talk about things? Because as we know now, in the world we inhabit, there's the sense of there are people who deny everything, as we know. But there are deniers that, you know, about global warming, about all these things. Are we in trouble, do you think, from a nature point of view, or can it be sustained? Like, what's
we
your
definitely
take?
Are. So we've seen plummeting of, like, even really common species. So in terms of all of the different bird species that would be resident in Ireland, 2/3 of those bird species are on the red or amber list of conservation concern in Ireland. We've got 100 different species of native wild bee. So there's bumblebees and solitary bees, and they're amazing. Each one is adapted to its niche. But 1/3 of those are threatened with extinction now in Ireland. We have half of our rivers are polluted, are not meeting the basic standards of the Water Framework Directive. Butterflies, there's quite a few populations of different native butterflies have really been plummeting. So it's death by a thousand cuts. There's so many different ways in which nature is very much under threat.
And is it our
in
fault?
Ireland today, and it's very much our fault. Mm. I mean, people aren't bad. They're not intentionally trying to do this.
Sure.
But at the same time, we've known since the 70s and since the 80s the kind of changes, land use changes that are driving these declines. And we've refused to change, amend how we do things because of that. So that's a bit of a stubbornness of digging our heels in, that business will proceed as usual. So there is a lot that we can do. But I guess my ethos with Naturefile and with this book, Frog Roots, is wanting people to understand and empathise from the perspective of the wild species so that they care enough to change certain ways of doing things.
Yeah, but you've used a word as part of the title, which I think says it all, treasures. Treasures of Irish nature. They're treasures.
Absolutely.
And you can lose treasure as quickly as you find it. So I think you've that word, for me, encapsulates what you're talking about, that we need to cling to these things and be aware of just how fantastic they are.
And it's understanding the value. So there's the amazing intricacies of the lives of these creatures that we share this island with. But there's also that this is our life support system.
Yes.
And biodiversity provides everything we need.
Your enthusiasm is infectious. You absolutely adore it.
You really,
I mean, I hear you on the radio, of course, but I'd be in the bed now for Saturday. I wouldn't be getting up. But I hear you, and I know that it's infectious, that you live and breathe this. It's so important,
you
know, and you love it. What about TV? When are you going to put this on telly? Wouldn't that be quite interesting?
Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun?
I used to love doing Eco Eye and getting out
to such gorgeous
places and interviewing really interesting people
as well.
And it was
really popular too.
It was popular. It was great. It's a shame that it's gone. I would love to do more.
Is it? I shouldn't say it, but maybe it was expensive or something. I don't know. I would have thought that, you know, you're like myself, you agree a relatively decent fee, and you go and you do your gig. I would have thought that it would have been a programme that should be continuing, because
I was gutted that it was axed. We were all really disappointed.
Well, you never run out of content.
No.
Because the world is your oyster.
And every year there's so many, like what we did in Eco Eye was we'd look at promising projects. So you're not talking about the bad news.
That's right.
You're talking about the solutions. And in that way, you're conveying what the problem is, obviously.
Yeah. Public service of the very finest kind.
Yeah. And that was incredible, because I would meet community groups all over the country and conservation initiatives or NGOs that are doing incredible work, and getting to talk to them about why they're doing this, how they're going about it. And it was really inspiring. And it does help me as well, because I'm so aware of the losses.
Well,
I'm aware of the bad news. I know how things are really going in the wrong direction. Well, so it's amazing to meet groups who are trying to turn that around.
That's right, to make a difference. And that's a chance to be positive, as you say, as opposed to negative. Frog Roots, Polka Dot Newts and Other Treasures of Irish Nature. Anya, it's been lovely talking to you this morning.
Thank you so much,
the
Marty.
The book is out there this morning. It's heard on RT Lyric FM's Nature File, but it's out there. We actually have a song about a butterfly to finish. Can you believe that? Now, that's preparation.